University.
Hello, you're listening to Extra Extra, Euron's comedy news show, in which we take a slightly more unorthodox look at the news of the week. I'm Ella Vajinska, and I'm joined, as ever, by Abby Houseman.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. It's a good week. How are you?
Fine. Everything's fine, Abby. It's fine.
It's exam hand-in week. Can you tell?
I haven't had as much sleep as I probably should have. It is. We normally record this on a Monday. We're recording it on a Tuesday today because we're wacky. It's really because we've got like essays and stuff. Yeah. It's really because I've got essays and stuff. And I was like, I need Monday evening to just work on this place names essay. And I was working on that essay until 20 to 6 this morning.
Yep.
Trying to get maps to line up properly within the Word document.
How much did you sob over Word?
I didn't at all. I'd got scrubs on in the background. It was great. Okay, I was actually quite enjoying myself because my mum's going to listen to this. She's going to be like, oh, it's such a student thing. She should be looking after herself and going to bed early. I was going to go to bed at about 2 a.m., which is sort of my normal like going to sleep time.
Of course it is.
Okay, well, like, that's an issue in and of itself.
Sleep schedule.
Yeah, I was going to go to bed around 2 because actually the essay was done at like 11.
Nice.
Last night, I'd proofread it. I just needed to get like the diagrams and things sorted, and they took forever.
So long. That's like 7 hours.
Yeah,
that's a long time. Why? Yeah. We're English students. We do not have. Messed around with diagrams. This is the contract I signed.
I think my essay was like 15 pages. Ooh. In writing with references, and then the thing I've handed in is 46 pages long because of all the things that I had to put into it. So yeah, and it got to about 2 a.m. and I was like, actually, I'm awake at the moment, and if I don't do this, I've got to get up and do it in the morning.
I might as well just go
and then sleep later. So I did, and now it's 6:08 on a Tuesday evening, and I don't feel tired.
Good.
But I feel like I will feel very tired very suddenly at some point this evening.
So we're playing a great game today in Extra Extra called When Is Ella Asleep?
You'll be able to track how tired I am throughout this show as I get slightly either more hyper or just like more sulky.
Well,
I don't know which way it's going to go yet. I've eaten a lot of fridge cake.
Hopefully we go hyper and we'll build up to the one story you're excited about this week.
Actually, you know what? Let's start with that story.
Okay.
Let's get it out of the way.
You want to get it out of the way?
It's been a big week. Stuff's gone down.
The official term for, you know, Trump pulling out the Iran deal.
Hey, Abby,
and
spoiler alert, we're going to get to that later on.
Wages protests and things like that.
Again, but just throw teasers out there.
There's other stuff happening as well.
So there's like political and important news. That's one category. The stuff that matters. The stuff that the BBC would talk about.
Yes.
In the other category, there's Eurovision. And I love Eurovision. Yes. So we're going to talk about that first because
for possibly the first time ever, I have got no notes on this. I've got three bullet points, the first of which is let Ella talk. So, Ella, take it away.
Do you want to ask me a question?
Yeah. What would the question be?
That's very much the question in and of itself, really.
What got Europe dancing this week?
Ooh, that was good, actually.
Thank you. That's better
than the normal stuff I come up with. Why is this way? I'm not very happy.
Do you want me to come up with questions as well and just hand them to you?
No, that's even a better segue because last week I was like, oh, why is Israel not very happy? It's because Iran had, like, apparently nuclear weapons and stuff. We'll get to that later. I don't really know what I'm talking about. Now they're really happy because they won Eurovision.
There you go.
What a week it's been for them. Very much a roller coaster of emotions.
It is indeed.
For the benefit of listeners, I did a roller coaster action with my hand.
She did. So what did you think about Eurovision?
I freaking loved Eurovision, Abby.
It was a really good year this year.
Yes, okay, so I want to say like more seriously, as serious as you can get with Eurovision. There wasn't a bad song this year. I think Eurovision has got quite a bad rep for having weird stuff going on. And then a lot of the times it does.
I don't mind the weird stuff. It's when it gets a bit ballady and taking itself too seriously rather than going, this is ridiculous. This is a ridiculous contest. And I love how ridiculous it is.
The thing is, it's not a ridiculous contest. It's only in Britain that we think it's a ridiculous contest. Everyone else takes it really seriously. Like, Australia, who admittedly like probably shouldn't be in Eurovision, they sent their equivalent of Beyonce.
Yeah.
People send really, really famous names.
Yeah.
And we send someone we voted for in a show that no one really cares about.
Pretty much.
Like the Swedish equivalent of that show, where they pick their winner, like that's one of the biggest TV events of the entire year. People take it so seriously. How? So when they send what we think of as like novelty songs, like Moldova, yeah, the
love
giant
Moldova.
Hat, like they're often a bit odd, but they are taking it seriously.
Yeah. But it's the chaos I like. I'm going to have to say, Moldova, your staging was great.
Moldova was great.
Song I don't remember at all, but the staging, fantastic.
Do Re Dos, they were cool. It was... I like them. They had very good staging, lots of like doors opening and closing and people. Because it's difficult. There's a lot of roles involved in Eurovision. You only allowed six people on stage.
So everyone had multiple roles to play. And it was a lot like, I like the theatricality of it. Because it was very much like a quick change in a music show.
I see where you're coming from.
In my mind.
Other than the fact they didn't change clothes at all. Yes. Other than the guy who was wearing red.
Yes.
Because I think the backing dancer had to also pretend to be a woman.
He had lovely legs.
Very skinny ankles. I'm incredibly jealous. Obviously, the big news from Eurovision, aside from the fact that Israel did win, which we'll get to in a minute, is the UK's entry.
Yeah, we had some drama happen.
A little bit of drama that was handled in the most British way. Yeah. So, Suri there singing a song, quite a nice song. It's quite like it. They should have sent the dance remix, but they didn't. Oh, well. Like, when in doubt, it's Eurovision. Play the dance remix. Don't play the original. Dance remix all the way. If you take one thing from today's show, play the dance remix on Eurovision. Anyway, she's singing the not dance remix of a song called Storm. And suddenly, a man appears who's not meant to be there.
No.
I should preface that.
This is a stage invasion.
A stage invasion!
Dun, dun, dun.
Exclamation mark! Yeah, so she's singing. Suddenly this guy runs on stage, grabs her microphone while she's waiting for him to be tackled by security.
Yeah.
She stands to the side and claps.
She does.
It's the most wonderfully British reaction
she
I've ever seen.
Handled it so well, but also fantastically.
Yeah.
Just kind of like, okay then, I guess it's your turn because I don't want to anger you. So let's just stand over here for a bit.
Yeah, and then she got the mic back and carried on. The man was taken off stage. It's been revealed that he... Because there was a lot of, like, sort of... No one really knew what was going on, who he was.
And it was difficult to hear what he was yelling.
Yes. I'll say, I've just Googled the guy's name, his stage name, effectively. And without really paying attention, the first article I've clicked on is by The Sun. So take everything with a pinch of salt, guys. Invader Unmasked.
Oh,
lovely.
So dramatic.
He wasn't wearing a mask. It's nonsense.
No.
So the guy who ran on stage is Dr. Activism.
What a name.
Has got a track record of stage invasions. He interrupted Dermot O'Leary at the National Television Awards earlier this year.
Poor Dermot.
Was actually like manhandled off stage by Dermot O'Leary.
Because
obviously he wasn't in the middle of representing his country.
He was just
in a international singing contest.
Hang on, everybody, and just like picked him up.
also got on stage at The Voice last year. Basically, his trademark look is a red bandana, a sort of, you know, those kind of like fashion shirts that you wear open and gonna be like, I'm cool.
Yeah.
One of those.
Them.
And then a t-shirt advertising his own book on Amazon.
My God.
Well, I mean, if you're going to take the opportunity...
You've got to be your own publicist.
Yeah, if you're going to take the opportunity to plug, you might as well. Bearing that in mind, you can listen to me and Abby on Showtime, 6 till 7 Sunday evenings. We talk about musical theatre.
Do follow us on Facebook and on Twitter.
our Eurovision special next week. Very exciting.
Oh, no. Oh, what if we get a protester in?
We're not going to get a protest here. If
we
Doctor
do?
Activism turns up,
that'd
during,
be cracking,
you know what? Actually,
extra story.
That'd get us an SRA.
And we just stand there and we just clap until someone comes to rescue us.
How we dealt with the stage invasion? You are Renovision. So he's written a book called The Workings of the UK State Mafia. Which is what was promoted on his T-shirt, and now on Extra Extra. I probably shouldn't have said his name. And he shouted. Something along the lines of, for the Nazis of the UK media, we demand freedom. Now, using part of the UK media in the form of the BBC to get that message across does seem slightly contradictory, but there we go.
It's an oddly specific message. It's very much for a singular group of people in the UK specifically. So I'm guessing Eurovision broadcast across Europe and in Australia and in parts of America, they probably don't care. They've probably got their own things going on. So it seems an odd place to stage an invasion. How did he get up? That's the thing. People are confused about how he
went through the camera. There's like a dip where all the camera people stand, and he went through that and then got onto one of the bridges that went onto the main stage.
Oh,
you look so shocked.
I'm just like wondering.
You're like, that's not very British.
No. Ooh, I don't like that. I think they need a bit better security.
Well, the security...
The security handled it really well,
yeah,
but I just don't think you should have got on stage
with the security
place.
Because there's an element of me that's like, it's difficult to prevent things like that. The only way you could stop it was if you had them, like, security guards, like, stationed around the stage.
Yeah.
Which I don't think works.
Like a music festival.
Yeah. Which, when you've got, like, camera angles and stuff, isn't going to work. Mm. What they need to do is exactly what they did and make sure that when they're on stage, they get taken down really quickly. It happened much faster on Saturday than when Spain's Eurovision entry in 2010, I think, got invaded. It was a really weird dance, and we were all in, like, silver with, like, a bit of pink on each of them. And this, they were, like, doing this really slow movement in, like, a triangle shape. And this random guy appeared with a hat and just sort of joined in with the dance. And then he got taken out really quickly. But they were given the opportunity to perform again, which was really annoying because it was kind of a rubbish song. Sorry, Spain. We were also given the opportunity to perform again on Saturday, but Siri decided not to take that opportunity. I think it was something to do, like, she didn't feel like she wanted to prove herself.
Yeah.
She was happy with her performance.
She did really well otherwise. Like, her singing and everything was really good.
Yeah, and I think actually she came back from it and sort of with a bit more oomph. I will say I was slightly distracted when Graham Norton was telling us about about the choice to not perform again, because the like little postcards that play before each show, they were on a tram,
and it was Ella loved the tram.
It was a really nice tram, Abby. Okay,
so here's where your priorities lie. There was a moment during the Irish performance which was lovely and amazing, where Ella just went, "I like the staging. You'll see why in a moment." And it just pans, and there's a lamppost.
I freaking love a lamppost, and I love a tram. That's the second thing to take from this episode: trams and lampposts. Even my mum sent me a message as soon as that song was over, being like, "It's a lovely lamppost." Yeah, she knows me. She knows me so well. But obviously, Israel did win.
They did.
They'd been the bookies' favourite from the very beginning. It was only at the semi-finals that Cyprus overtook them.
Yeah.
And it was quite close between Israel and Cyprus the whole time.
The judging was really tense.
Austria was the surprise from the jury's votes.
Yeah.
Because it'd been quite early on the final on Saturday, so... Yeah. There was the idea that people might have forgotten about it. But the jury's vote before the final, so obviously they'd really liked it, and it got the maximum votes from the jury. But then it was between Israel and Cyprus when it came to the public vote. If you haven't heard the winning entry, this is what it sounds like. You're divine and he's about to regret. He's a buck up, buck up, buck up, buck up, buck up, buck up, buck up. Very catchy.
It is. I've got it on my iPod now
because
I can't stop listening. I'm like, it's just fun.
I'm so pleased that I'm not the only person who has Eurovision songs on my like
finally
phone and iPod.
I've been convinced to turn over to Eurovision.
Yeah, I didn't like it when I first heard it.
It's a grower.
Yes, it definitely. I was sort of put off by the weird chicken noises in it, but actually, the chorus was very catchy. It's a very good song, and both Cyprus and Israel has songs that just like very good modern songs.
Yeah,
like just modern pop songs that you would hear on the radio.
Cyprus is more Shakira-y, just in staging.
Okay, yeah,
and in things.
So I'm sort of pleased that Israel won because it was like a slightly more different song. However, there has been some controversy regarding Israel because Abby, you have notes.
Yes, some people, because it's a song called Toy, so it's all about kind of feminist bent, I'm not your toy, being you stupid boy.
I'm not
boy.
Your toy. Do, 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 you stupid boy.
For example. But in the staging, people were talking about if it was cultural appropriation, because she used a lot of Asian imagery. So she had the lucky cat from China.
She had a lot of those cats. It was really weird.
She was wearing a kimono and had... she kind of done her makeup to make her eyes look slightly thinner and things. So people have been talking about whether or not that is a problem, because it's a good song and it's meant to be empowering, but also she's taking another yeah. culture as well. So far, I don't think there's been any response from anyone, but there might be by the time this is out.
I think, well, I think part of the issue is with it that actually they could have done a completely different staging
yeah,
and costume.
It wasn't
and
part of
it wouldn't
the...
have detracted from the song at all.
No, they could have still had the related. Dancing and they could still have her dressed amazingly.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a reason behind it, and it's not like she has enough a reason to use that culture, and so that's what people are kind of
she should
annoyed
have been
about.
Dressed as a giant chicken.
Yes.
Match the chicken
on. She could have had like a really great dress with like feathers on it. I don't know why I ran my
why
hand down
Why didn't they
my
get us involved in like the staging of these? I keep saying, Eurovision guys, we'd be amazing.
Come ask us.
Listen to you are Eurovision on Sunday, yeah, 6 till 7, you're on 3050.net.
So many ideas for musical theatre songs. I'm pretty sure we could turn our eye to the staging of a Eurovision song.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen Eurovision, I mean, we've spoiled the ending for you, but...
Yeah.
It's always next year.
Always next year.
And the year after that. And the year after that, and at some point, Abby and I will be hosting it.
That'd be great. Oh, would you want to host it? Or do you Graham's job? Or do Mel's job?
I'm going to work up to it. I'm going to start off by announcing our results.
Yes.
Then I'll get Graham's... Then I'll host the semi... Like, I'll commentate on the semi-finals. Then nice. I'll commentate on the actual show. And then when the UK wins, it'll come to the UK and I'll be asked to host it.
Nice.
Like Terry Wogan was when he... I sit in 1998.
That sounds like an excellent plan.
And you'll know it's me, because I'll start by going, hello, you're watching the Eurovision Song Contest, in which we take a slightly more unorthodox look at the music of Europe. I go, oh my God, it's Ella! It's that girl! And then it's like...
You don't know what Ella looks like normally, so it will be revealed.
Mm. There we go. And joining me, as ever, it's Abby Houseman.
And I'll be and across the thing and I'll be like, hello. I jump over the barriers and everyone's like, is it a protest? And I'm like, no, I'm co-hosting.
Yeah.
I've run all the way here.
Eurovision 2031 I'm going for.
Oh, nice.
There we go.
So check back in. We'll let you know.
Right, going on to like proper news stories now.
Bit more
serious. Bit more. Thanks for that clarification, Abby. What's going on in Iran?
Okay, so...
That's like a genuine question. Normally I ask sort of like a jokey question that sort of is a bit satirical, bit clever, leads towards the news story. I genuinely don't know what's going on in Iran, so it's very much a genuine question. Abby, please tell me the
what
news.
What is happening? Okay, so as we said last week... If you listen to that episode, Trump had to make a decision.
If you didn't, you can find the link to that episode in the description of this.
You can.
See? Plugs. Just like Dr. Activism. I don't want to be associated with Dr. Activism.
No.
Carry on, Abby.
So Trump on the 12th of May had to decide whether or not he would stay in the Iran deal, the Iran nuclear deal, and he has refused to renew it, saying it was defective to its core. This means that the US will be reimposing economic sanctions on Iran, which some people are happy about it because they might be anti-America. Others are worried because this will mean that when they last had sanctions on, oil production went down, and so oil prices across everywhere rose again.
Across everywhere.
I was going to say the globe, and I forgot all words.
I was going to say, I saw the moment that your brain went... I don't know what word's coming next.
My words were approaching the end of the sentence, and I was like, I have to say something. And so everywhere was what I came up with. There's been responses from Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei to say that America has made a mistake, and that he said from the first day I don't trust America. But there's been guarantees from other European powers. So the UN Security Council, that are basically part of this deal, the US, UK, France, China and Russia, plus Germany. They've all said, we're still in it if you want us to be. The Iran's prime minister has said, yes, please, that'd be great. I'm still working out some of the details. But Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has said, and he's kind of the biggest power in Iran, says, I don't think this deal's going to go through. I think the Europe's going to lie and cheat and we shouldn't go into it. More controversy was kicked up by the fact that in the Iran parliament, MPs, well, their equivalent of MPs, burnt the American flag and said death to America, which wasn't great for relations, I'm going to say. The reasons behind Donald Trump saying no. One, he's Donald Trump and we can't predict anything that he's going to do ever at any point. Two, it's an Obama thing. He signed it in 2015, so he hates those things. He's trying to destroy all of them, including like the Dreamer Act and all that stuff. And he's got some new people in his cabinet because they change every 48 hours. So they are very anti-Iran. So that is a summary, a very loose summary of what's happening at the moment. Sorry, that wasn't funny. That was just straight news.
So,
is there anything you want me to run through again? Anything you want me to say slower? I did say that very quickly.
In very black and white terms,
yeah.
Is it bad that Donald Trump has pulled out of this?
It's worrying. It could be a destabilizing force. The reason the deal was made was to prevent Iran from weaponizing their nuclear power and to stop it by saying, if you stop that, we'll let up on economic sanctions. Now they're going to be imposed again. This could mean that Iran is economically unstable and they could just choose that they don't want to be in the deal anymore,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be interesting, especially because Boris Johnson is leading our UK push, so we're going to have to really hope that Angela Merkel and Emmanuel Macron made statements about this. Theresa May has talked to the Prime Minister of Iran, but left Boris to make our statement for us, which I'm like, great, it's like his pet project. Like, go off and deal with that while I do Brexit-y stuff. Go on, off you go. And I'm like, oh no, don't let him. Because, this is a very tense situation. And I don't trust him, surprisingly, to do anything with any sort of efficiency.
Would you trust Boris Johnson
to run Eurovision?
Yeah.
I knew that was where the conversation was going.
No. I'm very much taken. Because the news was like, this is serious. I don't know how to deal with this. Eurovision.
No, there'd be a load of British bunting and like they would make it very like, because they don't like
Europe.
Yeah,
but it is like the place for flags.
Yeah, but they wouldn't let anyone else's flag be involved. I quite like the flag ceremony that they introduced this year at
Why
Eurovision.
Are they dressed as sailors?
I don't know, but I liked it.
I mean, this has gone off topic from Iran. Yeah. If anyone hasn't watched Eurovision and is joined this bit and is like, oh, good, they're talking about the Iran nuclear deal. Sailors at Eurovision. What? Welcome to Extra Extra. Abby, as a summary, anything more about the Iran nuclear deal?
Not much.
Moving on.
We're still just waiting to see how it all pans out. It'll probably still be a news story over the next couple of weeks as things develop. So we'll keep you informed.
I've said it before and I said it again. If you want actual news, this isn't the place to go.
No.
Abby is the place to go. Abby knows things. I derail those things.
I at least pretend to know things. I'm very good at pretending to know things.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I think, in the nicest possible way, I think I know a lot of things.
You do.
But pretend like I don't know anything. Whereas I think you feel like
I know
you
nothing.
You don't know things, but are pretending to know things.
So this is an old switcheroo, isn't it, on Extra Extra? I'd never said that word before ever again, and I love it.
You look so happy.
You did like a little arm movement. I didn't know I was going to say it until I did. And I was like, this is great. Thank you, brain, for giving me this one.
That's literally how I live my life. it's really awkward doing like a live show. Showtime 6 or 7 Sunday evenings. It's a plug. Really awkward doing a live show because I don't really know what I'm going to say until about a second after I've said it. And my brain like recaps it back to me. And you go, wait, why did I say that? Yes. So Iran nuclear deal. We'll keep you updated, but might be worthwhile actually doing some research.
Actually going to a new source.
I thought we were going to say Iran. I was like, no,
maybe not.
Don't do that. Track down Boris Johnson. See what's going on.
Give him a text.
Pitch your vision to him. And on the subject of Boris Johnson, his worst ever idea from an extracurricular project within the government as a has paid off even further. Abby, Brexit stuff.
Yes, we've got two stories for you today. The first broke today. So Holyrood up in Scotland, the Scottish Parliament, is set to reject the Westminster Brexit powers bill. Basically, this means that the Labour, Green, Lib Dem MSPs are expected to back the SNP members in rejecting the bill, which basically says that Westminster can overrule Holyrood in deciding how the devolved powers, specifically Scotland, how it's affected by Brexit. They up in Scotland would quite like
they up in Scotland,
I went very northern, would like,
but not as northern as Scottish.
No, I famously Yorkshire is slightly below the line there. The Conservative MSPs are set to reject the rejection, which was a really clunky way of phrasing that they're pro the bill. And they blame the SNPs and this kind of left coalition of the failure to find an agreement, which I'm like, yes, because they're not agreeing. That is literally what happens.
So if this motion passes, Scotland have the chance to... So the Scottish government have the opportunity to veto any deals
if
that are made.
The deal doesn't go through. The bill that Westminster is trying to pass says that Westminster has total power, basically. Mm-hmm. So they're rejecting that in the hopes that they can negotiate of some veto powers over some things.
Can we all just have that?
Yeah, that
like
would be quite
I don't
nice.
Want to leave the EU.
They have talked about it. There've been a lot of talks of like having nominal EU citizenship and you get to keep the passport and all the other things. I think logistically slightly difficult.
Oh yeah, it's going to be a nightmare to organise. But they got us in this bloody mess in the first place.
It's going to be a logistical nightmare anyway. We might as well just add a few bits and bobs in there. Let's just keep going.
We should do that thing like when something isn't going away and you just kick up such a fuss about it that it makes the whole thing like pointless in the first place.
Yeah, like a kid going around a supermarket. And they get to the sweets aisle and they just completely just have a meltdown if they can't get something. So it's easier just to go, have the sweets, than it is to like try and make a point. You got to take a win where you've got one. Oh, that's an idea. What if half the British population, all 48%, just kind of lie down and go, no, not today. Not until we've got EU citizenship again. That would be a hell of a protest. Difficult to organise. Ella's looking at me like I'm mad.
Well, no, it's more that I kept going to talk and then I was like, you know what, I'm just going to let her go until she runs out of steam. Because I was like...
Much like a small child.
You started with the supermarket and I was like, I don't know where this analogy is going.
Neither did I.
Evidently. I don't know where this analogy is going. And then it was like, oh, child in a sweet aisle. I was like, okay, that's kind of applicable to what I was saying. And then it was like, oh, there's an idea. It's like, oh, we're going to get some gold here. Let's all lay down. I was like, nope, not at all.
We've taken a left turn somewhere and we've gone somewhere else with this.
Yep, not where I thought that was going. Why is lying down going to help anything?
It's like a peaceful protest. So you just refuse to do anything until they go, fine, have EU citizenship. Because then half the country would grind to a halt, presumably.
Yeah, but you've got to factor in that quite a lot of those, like, within that demographic, a lot of them are students.
That's true. We don't.
Isn't going to really affect anything.
No.
You've got a whole load of, like, 16-year-olds who can't vote but would probably want to join the protest. Would they be allowed in? Abby, I don't think you've thought through this.
I mean, it was an idea I came up with, like, 5 seconds ago.
So yeah, but you should commit to these things, Abby.
Well, Brexit has.
You said there's another Brexit story.
Yes. Leave.eu have been fined £70,000 for breaking electoral law during the referendum. The Electoral Commission...
Are you saying that the Leave campaign was based on lies, Abby?
I know. Shocking. What? Shocking.
What? What?
So the Electoral Commission, who basically are in there to assess electoral rules and regulations, said the group, which is separate from the official pro-Brexit group Vote Leave, failed to report at least £77,380 it spent, which means that the chief executive of it, Liz Bilney, has been...
It was like a nice pause. It was like Liz Burn. Lisbon.
Lisbon. Lisbon. Eurovision.
Lisbon, we're back there. We just can't escape from Eurovision.
No. It's the biggest news story.
Can you.
She's been reported to police because she might be charged
what
with
was
some
her name? Sorry. I'm sure her name wasn't Lisbon.
Liz Bilney, I believe.
Liz Bilney.
Yeah. Leave.eu co-founder.
She just not pronounce Bill Nighy's name properly.
She was like, yeah, just stick it down.
You know when like in sitcoms and like comedy films, they have that moment where they have to like give a fake name and they just pick stuff from around the room. And there's like, she's in a pet shop where they also have like a TV and like the TV is showing
Love Actually.
Love Actually. And she's just like, yeah, Liz... Bill Nighy? Because no one's really sure how you say his name. Like Liz Bilney. Liz Bilney. It could quite have easily been Gecko Hugh Grant.
I feel like if times we ever have to go undercover, please could your name be Gecko Grant? And they're like, what's your middle name?
Hugh. That's how you'll know that it's us hosting Eurovision. Hello, you are watching the Eurovision Song Contest, in which we take a slightly more unorthodox look at the music of Europe. I'm Gecko Hugh Grant. Joining me, as ever,
is Parrot Martin Freeman.
Okay, so the tiredness is now hit and I've just got, like, stupidly hyper.
Excellent.
Let's concentrate on Brexit.
Yeah, so... Leave.eu co-founder Aaron Banks, he's a UKIP donor and a businessman. He called it a politically motivated attack because shocking. Leave.eu has been founded by these people. They are the self-styled, and I'm directly quoting here, the bad boys of Brexit. Just, oh God.
You'll go around in like sort of leather jackets and sunglasses.
So the Electoral Commission said Leave.eu has exceeded the spending limit for non-party registered campaigners, which they are, because they're not the official campaign, by at least 10%, including the 77,380. Possibly as well, they haven't included services from the US campaign strategy firm, and they've inaccurately reported three loans totaling £6 million from Mr. Banks,
that just makes it sound like you're just referring to the banks that got the loan from Mr. Banks.
Not the man from Mary Poppins, just to confirm.
Who also worked in a bank.
Oh, maybe it was
weird.
And then also 97 separate payments, which come up to £80,224. That's a lot of money to like forget about. Just be like, oh, sorry, we didn't realise it was over there. Oh, what to do? Can't go back now. And then they're getting angry that they're being fined for it. I'm like, yeah.
What they could do is take some of the money that they're being fined and put it towards, although I know that it wasn't a claim that came from Leave EU, it was a claim that actually came from the official Leave party. They could put some of that money towards the supposed £350 million that was going to go to the NHS every week or whatever.
Yeah, maybe they could put it towards that.
I'm not going to lie, Abby, this is such an unsurprising story. Like, oh, yeah. People who led Leave campaigns weren't entirely honest.
Shocker! In the interest of balance, though, they are not the only ones
about balance.
That have been...
I am a left-wing liberal.
They are not the only ones to be falling foul of spending rules. The Lib Dems... The Lib Dems have found...
Not the Lib Dems!
£18,000, and the Remain campaign, big figure here, has been found £1,250 by the Commission last year. So yeah, they're practically the same. They're as bad as each other, obviously.
It's almost like people don't go into politics, to be honest.
Yeah. Maximum fine is £20,000. Leave.eu was fined on 4 separate offences. So we will see how that turns out, because they might be going to court over it. Because they were like, they said we've done an illegal thing, and we kind of have, but we don't like it. So now they want to take
an electoral commission.
Yeah. So we will see how that pans out, possibly in the coming weeks. Once again, I'll leave you on a cliffhanger of a story, because nothing ever gets resolved. It all just keeps on going.
So we could pretend that it's like actually our fault that we just don't ever return to any stories, but no, they're just ongoing,
and then people forget about them, and they're just there. So there you go.
Speaking of ongoing stories, what seems to have been in the news for forever, but will finally come to a head next Saturday.
This is the royal wedding. Prince Harry, Meghan Markle, 19th of May, 12 p.m. on the dot. Marriage. It's very exciting for some people. And it means we'll have a nice thing to watch on Saturday, so might as well.
I'm going to go see Jersey Boys on Saturday. I've got two nice things to watch on Saturday.
So we've all got things going on.
I've got talent in the evening. How exciting.
We've all got things planned, Harry. You're not special. Get off your high horse. Would you like to know some details? The BBC had a wonderful summary
that I went through.
They're getting married at St George's Chapel in Windsor, near Windsor Castle. The chapel where Prince Harry was christened, apparently, holds about 800 people, which is a lot of people at a wedding. But then again, royal wedding.
But like nothing in comparison to the number of people they had at William and Kate's wedding, which was Westminster Abbey.
Yeah, real big venue. Had to book very far in advance.
And really have to fill it with people, otherwise it's going to look empty.
Yeah, you don't want the, you don't want the pews in the back, do you? Just get everyone in. Miss Markle was baptised at the Queen's request, so she's good to go. She's officially CV now. They're getting married at 12 on the dot. Will be Prince Harry's best man. Meghan Markle is not having a maid of honour. Apparently, the Kensington Palace released the most annoying statement ever going, she just couldn't choose between her friends. She loves them all so much.
What she should have done is organise like a nationwide competition.
Yes.
Where someone paid to be her maid of honour.
That would be amazing. That would be... I would watch that reality show of them to go through all the stages of like the bachelorette party and the engagement party, and they have to organise them all because that's kind of what the maid of honour has to do.
That would have been great.
A woman just in a sea of flowers panicking. Oh, that descent into madness. That would be amazing. Why didn't they ask us to do it? We would have done that.
Go, hello, you're watching the royal wedding in which we take a slightly more unorthodox look at the love of the royal family.
And they're like, Ella, who are you talking to? You're like, just the audience.
They're called the guests.
Why are you referring to yourself as Gecko Hugh Grant?
It's my
stage name. Reverend Grant,
Reverend Gecko Hugh Grant.
That definitely wouldn't be already taken. You definitely get that one. You know, when some people have to change their names,
when you join Actors Equity and like David McDonald became David Tennant and Peter Dennis became Hugh Dennis.
Yeah.
Ella Vedrinska becomes Gecko Hugh Grant. I will say, I don't think Ella Vedrinska's taken.
No, but just in case, we've got some backups. Other stuff happening. They'll get married at 12.
Is the ceremony starting at 12?
At 12.
Okay, or is that at the moment they're like pronounced man and wife?
I think the ceremony starts at 12.
Okay, that's more useful because I need to like schedule in when I'm going to head into town to watch Jersey Boys.
And then at 1, they're going to take a lovely promenade. Basically, on the map, it looks like the chapel is like on where their reception is going to be. It takes like a 2-minute walk. They are going to have to go all the way down. They're going to have to do a procession, which is going to take forever for them to get anywhere. But I guess if you're trying to shepherd all the guests into a reception area, it's kind of good that they've got a distraction. They're using Harry and Meghan as a decoy, essentially.
There is also an element of like anything to do with the royal family.
Yeah.
They need to have that way of getting the public involved.
Yeah.
And having a procession and the pomp and circumstance of that is a very effective way of doing it. And people really, really love it.
Yeah.
So it needs to happen at some point. If the only chance people had to see Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, I think people are more excited about Meghan Markle.
Like, get out the the way. I want to see Megan. And he's like, oh.
If their only option was when they watched her walk for 2 minutes into another venue.
Upset.
Yeah, they need to have the chance to cheer and whoop and have flags and bunting and...
cake.
Do other countries have bunting? I've always wondered this.
Know.
It just seems like the most British...
thing. We've got so much bunting in this country. Kath Kidston alone. Just so much of the stuff. Just miles and miles. So if you need any, come and ask. We'll hand it over. More than 1,000 members of the public have been invited to the grounds of Windsor Castle and will be able to watch the arrival and departure of the groom. So they'll be able to watch that like 2 minute section. 600 guests have been invited to the ceremony, I think. Or to the reception, like the lunch reception where you get to have a nice sit-down dinner. And a further 200 are invited to the evening reception, which is a big disco, which everyone does the Macarena at. I don't know if they're... Well, hang on. The Spice Girls are scheduled to play. So
oh my God,
it really is a disco.
It's turning into a year six disco.
Macarena. I want to see the Queen do the Macarena so badly.
I imagine the Queen won't stay for
I
the
imagine
reception.
She won't. But it'd be great if she did. And they could do oops outside your head on the floor and it would be great. On slightly sadder news...
So I've just got the idea of them playing like Bucks Fizz.
Yeah.
Making your mind up and whipping the Queen's skirt off or something. Meghan Markle's got... Because no one knows what her dress is going to be.
No,
like,
it's still a
mystery. Like another, like a mini Jay Aston skirt underneath.
It's like one of those transforming dresses. You know, people dress up as like... They've got those... so like on the outside it's like... the poor Cinderella outfit, and they unclasp something and they twirl and it turns into like the glittering ball gown. I would love it if she did that.
Except it's already a glittering ball gown.
Yeah,
it becomes more of a glittering ball
bigger
gown.
Bigger glittering ball gown, full skirt. It'd be great. Could she do that? Can we make a request now? It's a bit late.
I imagine it won't happen before Saturday, but when we're hosting Eurovision, there's going to be so many costume changes.
It's going to be so great. So yeah. Apparently her father, it's still unclear whether or not he's going to be there. It was confirmed that he was, but then he's currently been in the news in Mexico because he's apparently staged photographs for a paparazzi photographer. And so he doesn't want to bring the bad press to the wedding. And I'm like, if anything, this wedding is going to blow that story out the water. Like, if you want a way to distract people's attention, get your daughter married to a prince. That's a really good distraction technique, I'd say. But it's still uncertain.
Is that your go-to way of distracting a person?
Yeah, just marry monarchy. Just go for it. Apparently all the Windsors are invited, apart from Prince Louis, the latest edition.
Oh, I'll just throw into this. I've just Googled Meghan Markle's dad. An hour ago, he said the news broke that he has changed mind and will walk her down the aisle.
Oh, so, I mean, breaking news here at Extra Extra.
By Wednesday, I mean, who knows what's going to have happened?
That's the thing, because it's getting closer and closer. A lot of things are starting to like move and shift and we're starting to learn more things. So the entire day is still
Sky News says that he wants to walk her down the aisle but is in hospital.
Does. Oh, I didn't realise he was in hospital. Sky News has other sources than I do, apparently.
Let's just say we don't know whether...
It'll be a nice surprise on Saturday.
Yet another ongoing news story. Watch the royal wedding on Saturday.
I'm looking forward to it because it's going to be quite interesting. Also, because there's so many things left open. We don't know what our dress looks like.
It's a really odd news story whenever things happen with the royal family because it's like... They're so prevalent that you know it's going to be news. But the main news is... News hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, things haven't been announced.
Yeah, like
things are still up in the air.
With this, you've got the fact that it's like, oh, we don't really know who the guest list is. We don't know whether her dad's going to be walking down the aisle.
Maybe they haven't finished the guest list yet.
We don't know what she's going to be wearing. Don't really know anything about it. But it's news because at some point we'll know.
Imagine if all news stories were like that. At some point, we will know what Brexit is like. We do not yet. That is the news, actually.
Have we just made, like, a really intelligent point by accident?
I think we have.
Cue confetti cannons in Eurovision songs! And on that note, we come to the end of today's episode. Thank you, Abby, for joining me here in the studio.
You're very welcome.
And, of course, thank you for listening. We'll be back next Wednesday taking you through more of the biggest news stories of the week in a slightly more unorthodox way. I've been Ella Vedrinska. This has been Extra Extra. Thank you for listening. Goodbye. Okay, so
quick update.
Yeah, we were recording We were chatting about Iran. I derailed it by asking about Eurovision.
It was very funny.
It was the funniest thing we've ever said on Extra Extra.
Yeah.
Anyway, it turned out the program we used to record had stopped working. Yeah. And being here in the studio, I haven't yet been able to listen back to that to know where it cuts off.
No.
So just in case we've missed some major things, yeah. Abby, quick recap.
Last thing we were talking about was sailors, Eurovision,
okay, well, that
Iran
makes it
nuclear
sound
deal.
Weird, doesn't it?
It's not that weird.
We were talking about the Iran nuclear deal.
We were.
I was making some very intelligent and sophisticated points.
Indeed.
About the real intricacies of the political climate and the effects that the Iran nuclear deal might have. I didn't talk about Boris Johnson at Eurovision. That would be ridiculous.
it would, in both senses.
Yes, indeed.